Praise the living God. I want you, as people who attend, who come here, for whatever reason, to start to understand the sound, my sound. Eh? And once you understand it, it will be easy to carry you in. Eh? You can't come to any man's ministry expecting someone else's sound. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? And it's very, 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 very important. It's the reason why in some places, a person can carry a sound of another ministry and you won't feel it the same way. Because ministers have their own sounds. Eh? And sounds don't have to do with the song sung. Praise the Lord. Eh? Let's go into it. Psalms 91 and verse 1. Eh? Psalms 91 and verse 1. What does it say? Yeah, that scripture is right next to John 3:16. Eh? People just know it. So it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, it says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Give me Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4. Song of Songs, chapter 1. It says, draw me, we will run after thee. We touch that. Eh? It says, the king hath brought me into his chambers. It says chambers, plural. Not one chamber. The secret place is a place that is individualistic in nature. Within it are chambers. Praise the Lord. Because that's what he's saying here. The king hath brought me into his chambers. I'm glad it doesn't say bed chambers. Although it should say that. Eh? Huh? He has brought me into his chambers. So this is something intimate that is happening between a person who has sought the king. And he has sought him enough for the king to have attention and say, come now into my chambers. Plural. The secret place has chambers. Praise the Lord. I can't exhaust them. I'll touch the ones that I personally have been, by the grace of God, able to tap into and see for myself. Eh? Praise the Lord. And don't think it's something mystical. They are chambers. Chambers that the Lord desires you to go deeper into and discover there for yourself. Eh? For the past few weeks, I've been talking about intimacy. And we started from hunger, touched on pursuit, and now we're in the secret chambers of the Lord. Eh? It is possible for you, and listen to me carefully, along these different gates of intimacy, to experience sporadic moments that would make you think that you have reached the secret place. It's very possible. So it is possible for you, as you're hungering, you feel a deep presence of the Lord. It is possible that as you are pursuing, you have encounters. The prophetic opens up. And it's possible for you to deceive yourself that you have entered the secret place. You know that you have entered the secret place when you dwell there. It's not a place a person goes in and comes out of. Praise the Lord. Eh? It's not a place you go into and come out of. You dwell there. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a reason why. Because when you tap into some things, when you discover certain things of various chambers in the spirit, in that secret place, you do not want to. Praise the Lord. Amen. One of the first experiences that you will encounter as you pursue God, just before you enter into that secret place, is worship. Now, not worship singing songs, although worship includes that. It is a worship that is an exalting. It carries you. It's not just singing. Praise the Lord. Eh? It's a spirit and truth worship. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, it's very important you understand that there are different dimensions through which you can tap into the supernatural. If you want supernatural finances, you want a supernatural wife or husband, say amen. Eh? If you want anything supernatural, there are various dimensions in a ministry by which you can be able to tap into that experience. The first dimension to tap into the supernatural is by anointing. You will experience something simply because it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's because of the anointing you are before. And so, because you have seen more than the average person could see of that anointing, you are drawn into the same experience. Okay? So, the first or one of the dimensions in which you can tap into the supernatural is through an anointing. The second dimension, and they're not in any order, the second dimension is through faith. Faith means that it is possible for you to be here, totally have no clue about the anointing, not even understanding what he's saying, and by faith you know this is your day. You understand? And because of that posture, you experience something supernatural. The third way, which to me is the most precious and the most important, is the supernatural that is released simply because of the presence of God's glory. The other two need you to do something. When the presence of God rains down upon a place, supernatural things just happen. And that's why I always insist, please connect. Because if the glory of the Lord comes down in its potency, you won't need to say, I need financial breakthrough. I won't need to pick you out. You know, your mother will get healed. Your father will get healed. Your job, you get a promotion. Your boss will be fired. Just like that. Eh? If you need your boss to be fired. Praise the Lord. There's a supernatural that flows simply because of a presence. Now, listen to me carefully. As you enter into the presence of God, as you go deeper into God, you will worship. You will encounter what I call true worship. That kind of worship is a worship, like I said the other week, that literally, for lack of a better word, you're lost. And when you're lost, you become an instrument for God. And the Spirit of God worships or prays through you in a way that is referred to as the most perfect form of prayer. You're with me so far? Now, when a person is in that place, I'll call it a chamber of simply worship, the true essence of worship that distinguishes it from all these other things is called ministering unto the Lord. And not many people do it. Let me show you through scripture how important it is and why that third stage that I'm talking about could be your secret to actually grow in prayer without praying the way you think prayer is done. Eh? Huh? The Bible says, give me Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Acts 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene. By the way, these are black men, eh? For another day. And Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. If you want to know your calling, minister unto God. Paul was not called when he was walking, when he was going down the road to Damascus. He was not called when his eyes were cleared by the prophet. He was not called when he was 3 years in the desert. He was called here when he was ministering unto the Lord, and the Spirit said, separate for me. He ministered unto God. Praise the Lord. Now, don't worry, we're going to get there. He ministered unto God, and because of that ministering, the Spirit said, separate them. That's when he discovered his calling. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the young boy, Samuel, was in the sanctuary ministering unto God, and he had a voice. Now, if you want the prophetic to be released, minister unto God. Now, please understand, the other ways are simple. Come, I lay hands, we pray, then you come, you have to have faith, then go, but Rabbi, it's not happening. You go, you pick out, or you can just minister unto God. And someone's calling and prophetic is opened up because he was ministering in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not only that, scripture says, if I remember correctly, it says Solomon is building a temple for the Lord, and he orders 120,000 guys to sing unto the Lord. Bible says they ministered. And it says the presence of the Lord fell down so heavily that they could not minister anymore. Now, don't start. Now, I'm telling you, these things of Father, protect my house. Protect my house. There is that level. Then there is ministering to God. Demons cannot pass through that level of potency. It can't. It says the glory of the Lord came down. Let's go to it, actually. 2 Chronicles. I think it's 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, actually. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven. So, it's not only Elijah. It's not only Elijah who called fire from heaven. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. May that be true of your house. These things of a thief jumping over the wall, opening the door. It says the glory filled the house. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 2. Press that thing that says verse 2. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Imagine such a glory where even the priests who have a right to enter can't enter. What about a thief? Now, I'm going to show you later. We're getting somewhere. There is a ministering unto God. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, it says, thousands upon thousands ministered before his throne, referring to angels. And it says, books were opened and judgment. Do you know that your enemies, those people who speak things about you, as you minister, judgment, amen. Not fire! No. There is that level. I'm trying to get you now to a higher level. That thing where someone is whispering in a corridor somewhere about a man of God, and they're hit even when the man of God did not hear. Are you with me? Because the glory is around him and he hears, who's that? And it says, what you doing? Praise the Lord. There is that level where you spend the entire night saying, now I bring you down, I bring you down, I bring it down. There's ministering unto God. Ministering unto God. Now, ministering unto God is actually the first stage to go deeper into that secret place. You have to learn it, because in essence, it's you have to learn to get. Do you know that worship songs are different? Based on, for me, there are four categories. There are songs, you can tell the potency of a song based on, number one, its subject. The subject differentiates the influence of the song. I'll explain that. Secondly, the source. Someone spent a night trying to come up with lyrics. Another person was praying in the night and it dropped in their spirit. The source distinguishes the potency of the song. Are you with me? In fact, a song that is got the second way stays on earth longer. Are you with me? Second is the source. Third is the person. The person can distinguish the potency of the song. Do you know that the closer someone is to God, irrespective of gifting and anointing, even if they don't have a better voice, the influence of the song will be different. And lastly, is the instruments in the song. And this is what I'm going to tell you. It's very important. The instruments. In the spirit, instruments have different categories of potency when it comes to bringing down the presence of God. In fact, string instruments are more potent than other instruments. Guitar, violin, harp. That's why if you look through scripture, in the book of Revelations, the elders, they have harps. They don't have pianos. No. Praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean these other instruments are. But the instrument can determine the potency of glory in your house. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that David, who was a worshiper, David had about five offices upon his life. So he's a worshiper. He set up 24-hour worship. Every hour, a new person would come up singing with a group of people. 24-hour. I heard the man of God, and I'm going to explain, the man of God, Benny Hinn, saying that one day the Lord came to him and told him, I want you to minister unto me 24 hours. In other words, when you're going out, have that song in your ear. When you're eating, have it in your spirit. Just minister unto me. And he said, according to his words, that played a vital role into ushering him into his true anointing. Imagine, and you don't even have to go 24 hours. Just need to learn to put on some music and not yap. You understand? Yes. Some people always want to have something to say. The Bible says before you say it, he knows it. Amen. Please, learn to be silent. Okay? And he says, just sit there, put on some music and just say, yes, Jesus. Allow the music to do the talking for you. Flow with it. Different songs have different glories. There are songs, listen, that are written primarily to release faith in you. So when they are sung, their aim is to magnify the faith in you. But there are songs, if you want the presence of God to come down, you need to learn to identify them. They are primarily songs that have an element that focuses. If it's subject, it's the glory of God. You understand? It's not about what you want. Learn to go to sleep with those songs. Wake up with them. That's how people enter into a place and come out with a presence. Because what happens is that once you learn to minister to God, you enter his presence and his presence enters you. You become a walking God vessel. Now, technically, everyone is, but the experiences of people are different. I know you want money. I know you want to get married. I know. Learn to minister unto God. For example, I like some songs. There's a reason why certain anointings like certain songs. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto. Now, there is no way. That song doesn't say, Lord, come in for me, come through for me. Those songs are fine. Eh? But I'm telling you, when you're ministering, that is a song, just, oh God, seclude yourself. Sit somewhere, put on earphones, and just allow the song to take you away. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Minister unto God. I wish I had time. I would show you on my phone the songs that I have. I just let them play. And as I'm there, you know, one time, my madam asked me, but I don't always see you praying. Then I said, I actually pray every single night. It's just that I don't do it to show you. Because every night, as I'm going to sleep, I enter the bed, put on my earphones, and just pray silently. I wake up in the morning, this lady is going to look for you, this man is going to look for you. We do this. Instruction has just come. You haven't said, Lord, give me guidance. Lord, learn to minister unto God, please. And it's not that difficult. Praise the Lord. When that happens, you know, like when a person has pursued someone they love, the first stage before we go into other things, they're just, you're beautiful. I love the clothes you're putting on. Adorn worship God. You're pursuing someone you're saying you love, but you don't have, you're already telling him, give it to me, give it to me. Guys, I'm trying to bring it down to your language. I'm trying to bring it down to your language. Seriously. You claim to love him, but you've passed all that adoration and gone straight to give it to me. Praise the Lord. Learn. You're lovely. You're wonderful. You're glorious. You're majestic. Irrespective of what I'm going through, I honor you. And God begins to, that's my daughter. Learn to make it a culture. What happens is that then you start to learn the moods and the language of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I had the man of God, and this is years back. One time, Benny Hinn gave a story of his. He said when he was 19 years old, he went to a Catherine Kuhlman conference or session, whatever. First time ever. And he said, so she walked in and he felt there's something different about this woman. And as she began to worship, he said, for the first time in his life, the presence of the Lord came down on it in its potency upon him. He had never felt anything like it. Now, he said, as he was carried away with the presence of the Lord, Catherine Kuhlman stopped the session and called a lady up to testify. And as the lady was testifying, for one moment, Benny Hinn said, as I listened to her, I thought, she's lying. And he said, the moment he thought that, the presence lifted. The presence lifted. And he said, Catherine Kuhlman then, after the woman had testified, she began to cry and sob in front of everyone. People wondering what's going on. And she lifted her head after sobbing, pointed towards Benny Hinn and said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's all I have. Amen. Now, there's that, you know, where you've gone into God, you're one with him. Amen. You feel what he's feeling. You guys, grieve not the Spirit of God. He can be grieved. It's very sensitive. The closest I can give it to you is this. The example, the closest example I can give. Imagine a fish swimming through a bowl of water, and you get a sharp object and try to poke that fish. Its reaction. That's the closest reaction I can give to when you grieve the Spirit. Because once you've grieved him with something as simple as doubt, he stops allowing you to feel him. And I know what I'm talking about. Now, to be sensitive to such things, you need to have been, to have learned the art of ministering unto God. Where you become one with him. And that's why the Bible says then, he's like the wind. Everywhere you're going, you just see you're in the right place. While others are praying for God to take them in the right place, to do the right investment, you just find that you're always doing what's right. Because you're on the first, you've learned to minister unto him. I have to summarize that. As you go deeper, you will then come to a place that is called rest. It is a chamber in the secret place. A place called rest. Do you know that according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says that after creating everything, God rested. Amen. But, Father, remind me of the scripture. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Let's read it from verse 28 onwards. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Next verse. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Next verse. It says, even though the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. 31. Very important scripture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is a running where a man does not grow faint. Right? Does not grow weary. There is a walking where a man does not faint. There is. That place actually exists. And all that is best. Because you see, when the Bible says that God rested, it's not referring to the fact that he was tired. I'm going to show you how a spirit rests. I'm going to show you how a spirit rests. Because you see, everything that is spirit has a resting place. The only things that do not have a given resting place are demons. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, they wander into the desert looking to and fro for a place that they can rest. They are not given a place of rest. Demons are not given a place of rest. In fact, they, without permission, take the bodies of human beings and call it home and therefore sit and declare it rest. But they are not supposed to rest. Demons are not supposed to. Now, you are a spirit. You're supposed to find rest. And you know when sometimes I walk in, you can sense the things that are worrying people. Someone is worried. Lord, I've prayed. Lord, I've sowed. Lord, I've... And your spirit is worried. And the Bible says, you will run and not grow weary. You will walk and will not faint. But it's dependent upon waiting upon the Lord. And waiting is not sitting and waiting. It is ministering. You guys, it is ministering unto God. Ministering unto him. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. I think it's 11. We're supposed to be in eternal time here, but nay. For with stammering lips, this is the only scripture in the Old Testament that talks about tongues. This scripture here. It's a precursor. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Next verse. It says, to whom he said this, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now hear carefully. There comes a time when you enter into God and you become, and you yield yourself to Him, and He enters you as you enter Him, and He has the freedom to use you as the vessel through which He can do His work. That freedom then thereof is what is called rest to God. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. You are the reason. You are the reason God finds rest. You. Isaiah 66 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. Yes? The earth is my footstool. Now, when you have a footstool, what are you doing? In other words, the decrees and the work is done from heaven. But when it comes to earth, this is my resting place. Then he says, where is the house that you build unto me? Referring to the place of footstool. Where is it? And where is the place of my rest? He's asking, where is it? On earth, where is it? Next verse. For all those things hath my hand made, the heavens, the earth, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man, here he's referring to Jesus, will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now the poor there is not your poverty. It's poor in spirit, it's humility. And he says, not only will he look to this man, the Christ, also to this person who has a contrite spirit and trembles at his word. Now then, he comes into the person and he has what is called rest. Okay, this might be a bit hard for some people. But what I need you to understand is that there's a place in the secret place. There's a chamber that is called rest. When everything around you is being rocked left and right, you find peace. It says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Now, the coming to me there is not, Lord, I have come. He's talking about this place where you enter in and you allow him to take over. That's why when he said, ask, you shall receive. That's hunger. Seek is pursuit. But knock. If I had time, I would show you that after the chamber of rest, there's a chamber of food. That's why, you know the scripture that says in Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice will open the door and let me in. And I will dine with him and he with me. Amen. You guys. This is not muchomo, this kind of food here. Guys. The Bible says that when Jesus, after he resurrected, he put on a new body. And with that new body, he ate fish. He ate our food. Okay? With that new body. And that food did not corrupt the new body. Do you know that what he's saying here in Revelation 3:20, when he says, I will dine with him and he with me, it's an exchange of food. Now, guys, you can eat something in this place here. The Bible says that Elijah got food from ravens and went 40 days, 40 nights with it. Ate it, 40 days, 40 nights. Heavenly food. We shall touch that some other time in its entirety. There are things about the presence. Do you know that God hides himself in ordinary things? Many of you, when you're looking for the spectacular, when you want the supernatural, you expect the spectacular. And so, when the spectacular is not there, you think God has not moved. But he hides himself in common and ordinary things. I'll give you an example. I'm going to share a testimony someone gave me. And I love these testimonies because they encourage me as a minister. I was, so this person, I hadn't seen them for a while. It's a lady. Then she tells me, I was going before the Lord. And the interesting thing is that I met this person and in their mind, they don't know how to pray. Because the perception of prayer in most people's minds is that I must pray like that man of God or that woman of God or people who... And so I'm sitting with this lady and in her mind, she's sure she doesn't know how to pray. So she tells me, Rabbi, I've taken long without seeing you. So I went before God. I said, Lord, I want to see your servant. Do you know that's praying? Especially when it's sincere. Do you know? It says, if you come to me and you do not doubt. Yeah? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. But there's a place where you cannot convince me God is not here. And a person is talking like they talk. They're talking to an invisible person, but they know the person is there. It says, I want to see your man of God. That's what she said. I'm not saying this so that you try it. Eh? Now, that's not what messed me up. What messed me up is she wrote down April 4th, 2 p.m. I was in my home, April 4th. And I sent a text. Meanwhile, that thing messed me up. Because I was thinking, I wonder how these girls are doing. It's easy to think it has just come. Huh? You know, you guys, I looked, and you know when she was telling me this, I looked at my phone. Indeed. I said, eh, I told her, do you know that you have a relationship with God? Because there are many people who go, and it's very artificial. You just, the reason you want to see the man of God is, it's there's no sincerity in it. It's I want to see him. But for someone just to express a thought, then go ahead by faith to write down, and God manipulates me, who's on my own things, chilling, relaxing somewhere. People like that do not need to start signing up, looking for the man of God's number. Just be in the presence. There are things many of you are struggling to do. People you're struggling to connect to simply because you've tried to mechanize it. Do you know faith is faith? The difference between the supernatural that comes of the presence and the one of faith is because faith is very mechanical. It works, but it's mechanical. You need to conjure it up. Have faith. Though there's a place where the Bible says it refers to the gift of faith. Even that, the Bible says he gives as he wills. Amen. Huh? Then there's a fruit of faith, all of which, by the way, can manifest something, but they have a mechanical aspect to them. But when a man of the presence has just come out of the presence of God and goes and finds a sick person and says, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. No struggle, no. Nothing like that. And I was shocked. Now, this very same lady, I went back home, I said, people have relationship with you, God. She sat in fellowship here and said, I've been in this fellowship, Lord. Telling God, for how long? Rabbi has never called out my name. Now, she told God, I need to know that you know my name. 2 Fridays back, I'm here. I say, who's Mercy? Her name is Mercy. Meanwhile, I did not pick her out. I picked someone else out. But God is answering her. I know your name. And then inside is like, but really, maybe it was just by chance. I called an Abraham, and she has a brother called? Abraham. Meanwhile, sitting in the very same congregation. Amen. Not just listening to the man of God, but also talking to the God of the man of God. You understand? Yeah. And you know, God just messes me up. Because he's here using me at the same time, doing some stuff over there. You know, when someone has divided themselves, having a conversation with you while I'm here ministering, and it's the same God. My God. And see, such things mess me up. Because there are times I come before God, and you know, I was with someone in a car on Tuesday. I asked them, what is the second gate of intimacy? Huh? I won't look there. Then they tap the neighbor. You, what's the second? I said, imagine. I said there are 12 gates of intimacy. We're just on 3, but people have forgotten 2 and 1. So I said, Rabbi, now I'm going to come with a pen and paper. I said, it's not, I don't want you to cram. I want you to understand something. That, you know, there are things that burden me. When I look at someone, when I ask someone a simple question, and as a teacher, it will cause me sleepless nights wondering, am I just coming to preach? Are people actually growing? These are the things, because I told you, if God told me, well done, hang up the boots, I wouldn't waste time. Because this stuff is not easy. Huh? It's not easy. And so sometimes, I my desire is not to come here and preach. I want to see a manifestation of it. Eh? And I was telling someone that often, growth is not physical. You can't see it. It can be taking place, but silently. That's like how trees grow, and the roots, you don't see them. Okay? But finally, when it starts manifesting, you realize when the wind has blown that the roots are strong. And so it's not necessarily a manifestation thing that I'm looking for. Let me correct something that most people have in their heads. There are people out there who think that it's about results. It's not about results. It's about God. You know, your results can become your God. Your results can become your God. You can go before God every night and be praying for a car and forget to pray to God or to pray, minister, and to just totally forget God. Your God becomes the car. And you see, Paul said it this way, and I want to encourage you with this. He said, we came into this world with nothing, and it is certain that we'll go out with nothing. Now, he's referring to the physical. Now, it doesn't mean you can have a nice car, a nice house, but what I'm telling you this is that some of us have discovered that when you throw yourself into God, he begins to, like a man who loves his woman, eh? And he's like, it's your birthday. Have a car. Like those types of men, eh? Not the ones who say, nah, sweetie, they don't. Sweetie, sit in a cent, eh? Huh? But you rebuke, eh? By the way, you guys don't know how powerful your prayers can be. I was telling someone someday that if you go before God and say, this is the type of man I want, eh? Huh? If he's meant for you in the spirit, eh? There are things he will go through in his life because you prayed. I know what I'm talking about. And you kneel and say, Lord, I want him to have a good character. Bagger, bagger, bagger. Life hits him. By the time you meet him, he has so many wounds. Eh? But it's exactly what you wanted. Praise the Lord. Eh? Some of you, I know the prayers you make. A man, any man. No. Not here in this ministry. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Press in. There's a lot waiting for you there. If you could understand the sensitivity of the Spirit of God, that there's someone next to you in the morning, in the night. You know, when I read Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, years ago, I learned to wake up. It became part of me. I said, good morning, Holy Spirit. So today, I have this. But if there's anything that you have planned for me that I do not know, lead my path. 5 minutes. You know how precious those moments are? You begin, as you pressed in, you begin to tell the difference between the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. Some people just confuse all of them. And they're not the same. Now, you know that doctrinally, but many of you don't know it experientially. When someone says Jesus is here, it's different from the Holy Spirit. The presences are different, and you can learn to distinguish them. And when the Father is in a place, okay, to you, do you know that in biblical times, God the Father rarely came down to earth, if ever. Rarely, if ever, he sits on that throne. May God give you that encounter. I was telling someone that by the time we finish all these gates, you will learn there are places even I myself have not seen. One of them is a gate that has to do with fear. It's a place of intimacy. Do you know you've never truly known the person you love until you've seen their other side? And it's the same with God. You can see all this loving, what? You see, the Bible says of Moses that God told him, he hits a rock twice. And God tells him, you're not going to enter the promised land. Scripture says 3 times he came before God. Please let me enter. And the Bible says God responded, do not ask me this question again. And he didn't say it like, don't ask me. No. Don't ask me. And Scripture says, you don't hear Moses asking again. Actually, later in the book of Hebrews, it says when God showed up on Mount Sinai, Moses said, I am exceedingly terrified. Amen. Yeah. Abraham, the friend of God, the Bible says he falls asleep. And he says, something passes by him. And Scripture says, he was filled with fear. Paul said, behold, the kindness and the severity of the Lord. You want to know, when you know a man who's very intimate with God, they've seen that side. They've seen that side. And that side can drive them even more than the love. I know what I'm talking about. Even more than the love. See? You learn. The things you learn. Things you learn. And I like to use the man of God, precious anointing, Benny Hinn, a lot, because years ago when I was desiring to have intimacy with God, he was the one I listened to. And so I refer to him a lot in that reference. But there's a time he talks about how one night, one morning, he was praying before God for hours, actually just listening to music, worshiping. And someone downstairs came. He had an appointment, and he got up to leave, and a hand touched him and said, 5 more minutes, please. And I remember when I was growing in this thing, 3 a.m., I used to feel someone tapping me and I'd wake up like this. And at first I used to ask myself, what is going on? Especially when you're sleeping in a house alone. Like, what is going on? So I'd wake up, and you see how the Spirit of the Lord is, because he's almighty and all-powerful. He taps you, he's waking you up to have intimacy with him. Wakes you up, then takes away sleep. Then you're like, he said, oh, I watch a movie. Nothing. Oh, wait, what? And meanwhile, he's there. Those moments are precious. Those moments are precious. Learn to build it. You know, when you have something like that, you will, no one will tell you, fast. You see? No one will tell you, go for fellowship. No one will tell you, tonight. You start to learn that when you're in the presence of God, it is possible for the fellowship to end and you're still there. And because you're still there, you don't need no one to start disturbing your posture. Get out. Leave. Continue. Because here we're in time, but when you're connected to eternity, you can continue that feeling. I wish, some of you have had it. I wish I could explain. There's no language to explain that ecstasy. No language. With things like that, you don't have to say, Father, my husband is beating me. My what? Nothing like that. He enters your house and becomes king of it. King of it sits in the house. That's where you hear testimonies. We don't have a job, but I don't know, provision is coming. You don't know, but I don't know, this is happening. For years, I didn't have money, but I always had something to eat. There were no coincidences in the spirit. None whatsoever. And so when many of you long for the spectacular, know that God will hide himself definitely in the ordinary. Hide himself there. I receive a lot of messages, and sometimes I just look at them and I say, okay, this is interesting. So, Rabbi, there's this guy. Check for me. And some of you are laughing because you know you fall in that category. There is this guy, Rabbi. Check for me to see if he's what? And some of them even end is, don't worry, I will send the seed later. And you think I'm joking. I'm actually telling you honestly the truth. And at least, let me tell you, you can be familiar with an anointing. There are people who get familiar with God. That is the worst kind of familiarity. Worst kind of familiarity. Me, I want to see those people who, when they come in the presence of God, there used to be people like that. They pass by the offertory bag and for them they're removing. By the way, back those days, I won't mention with some church there. Wait, some chap would take. See, but did these people not fear God? I was telling someone in the car here before I came that if you understand what is awaiting the non-believers, some of you have had end time dreams, and you wake up sweating, it's like you were there. If you know what is awaiting those chaps, for me, when a person transitions from this world, and as far as I know, they did not give their life to Christ. The words condolences, what? Those, they're not helping. That I don't know. Maybe you can say condolences to the person. But you're posting and you're saying, oh, rest in peace. And I need to tell you this. If a person, you guys, if a person... Actually, it should awaken you to look for the next non-believer and say, go ahead. Do you know that life, the wise man said, we're here and in a moment, amen, we're gone. So imagine all those things that you're holding dear and substituting the relationship of God with the person you're pursuing or the person you love, the job that you want. What has become, what has replaced him? And how easily can you get it if you just push in. Be intentional. It's not, you know, it's not hard to minister unto God. I've just explained it to you. It's not hard. It's not hard. The greatest impacts on the face of this earth will not come to people who are Christians. It will come to Christians who have learned to have intimacy with God. The mistake you can make is to think that God will give you money simply because you're a child of God. The only way that can happen is number one, if he's trying to test you and bring you closer. Number two, of which then he won't give you all the money. Or it's a calling upon your life. And by virtue of that gifting, money just comes. Amen. And someone is saying, now, man of God, I know I need the presence, but that's the one I want, eh? Me, I want gifting. Ah, I want that one. Child of God, get to know this God for yourself. I could have said a lot about that secret place. There's a lot in there. A lot in there. A lot in there. Sometimes when people, when the Lord sends me a message, or when I see someone, and I think about someone, I've learned with time now that I don't think about specific people in my alone time by accident. Amen. So when I learn that, I begin to put them before God. And I don't try to force things because it's harder when you know the person. So you know, I know this one wants marriage. And it's very easy to go before God and say, Lord, marriage. Just put them before and say, I hand them over to you. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I hand over. I don't know much. You know the will of this person. You know your will for this person. Make it clear. Open the door for them. And it opens up. I asked someone, have you ever stopped to ask God, what is your plan for me? Or you're waiting for it to come from the pulpit? No one told me my calling. No one. It was confirmed 8 years later. No one told me my call. I just, one day, I used to listen to a man of God called Perry Stone. I've told this before, and as I was listening to him, something supernatural happened. That up to now, I compare it to the experience Moses had with the 70 elders, where a spirit was brought off him, and boom! I used to do 23-hour Bible study because I had the time. I just finished campus, didn't have a job. My mom and dad would leave in the morning, and I'm in a chair. They would come back. I'm in a chair. They go to sleep, and I'm... I say, but you, man. My dad one time told me, I think you've gone. And I would have three different versions of Bibles right in front of me. 23-hour. Only time I'd get up, go to the loo. When it's food, the house help would bring it. Amen. I would go. To the extent that I can't repeat that now. There was a hunger. I was on that first stage where I knew I wanted something, but I wasn't sure what it was. 23-hour Bible study. And if you go back to my old Facebook posts, there are some of them where you'll find I would post like at midnight. Oh my God. Then put exclamation mark. And then chaps in the morning. What has happened? Someone died? Huh? I'll write OMG. Oh, I'll write, this is unbelievable. And my Bible was full of. Now, at that time, I did not know that God was preparing me for ministry. I just had a burning desire to know him more. And it opened up. Now, my question to you, I'm winding up. My question to you then is that God knows you want money. Most of you actually. Who doesn't want money? Huh? God knows you want to travel. God knows you want a better life for yourself. But the thing is that there's something God knows that only you can get from him. Truth be told, only you can get from him. I will sit here and by the Spirit I'll be led to pick out someone. And you'll say, and meanwhile, the Lord will tell you as you're coming, today is your day. Amen. And then I go, I pick someone else. Then you go back saying, but did I really hear you? Because God does not count today being your day as being picked out. Amen. Stop reducing it to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God push you in. I pray you will learn. One day I'll talk about the angels that show up when you enter certain levels in God. Eh? Because they follow atmospheres. They don't follow. They're those ones, those guardian ones, eh? That have been with you every day. You, in fact, you know them. You'll be shocked when you come before God. Eh? Because the Bible says you shall judge the angels. You are not, everything you did on earth, you are not doing it alone. There are chaps who are also going to be rewarded. Eh? And the thing is that you know them. I'm telling you, you see them. You see them face to face. I feel like I know that's because when you were born, I was there. When you, what? I was there. When they broke your heart, I was there. And then the day you learned the name, some people leave this earth without knowing the angel's name. Oh, it is such a weapon. My God, it is such a weapon. I tell you, no, that's not the message for today. Because that very same angel can work in getting a wife or a husband for you. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Hmm? That same angel, when you're sick, healing. Amen. When you need money, and at that stage, I remember I used to get down and say, I would say her name. That was revealed to me by another man of God, by the way. He came and said, your angel's name is this. I said, ha, hard work gone. And so I would sit down and say, this is the name of the angel. Then I said, we need finances. That day would not end. And may God reveal to you angel's name. It becomes easier.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.